You have your Bibles tonight. If you'd turn with us to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. I remind you, we're going to have a missionary in Sunday night from Canada. You'd be praying for Brother Caudle. I want him to come and share with us what's going on to our neighboring country. 1 Timothy, chapter number 2 tonight. Good to see this good crowd at Wednesday night prayer meeting. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul now is writing to Timothy. He says this, he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Boy, that'd be refreshing, wouldn't it? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It does matter what we do, because He's seeing it all. And I want to remind us of that tonight. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm doing. That's right. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really want to know what you're doing. But I can tell you this, there's a God in heaven knows what we all doing tonight. And so he says, who will have all men to be saved? You ought to underline that. And if anybody ever tell you anything opposite of that, they don't know what their Bible says. God would have all men to be saved. That's why he created hell for the devil and his angels. God never created hell to put you there. But if you deny his Son, the blood of Christ, he has no other option but to put you there. The Bible says, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator. Or one go-between, between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing? He left heaven's God, went back as the God-man. He became man for me and you. He gave it all. He had nothing left. A lot of times we think we give a lot, but we've got a lot left. Christ gave it all. He gave His whole life. Left the portals of glory and became man. And then he says, he gave himself a ransom for all. I'm glad he paid the price for us all. Then he said in verse number 7, whereto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Teach the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also. I want to hit that right there in verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. What is that? That's without bitterness or anger. And with holy hands. In other words, having clean hands. Nothing hid. That's the way God wants us to come to Him tonight. And then He says something, and in like manner also. He said, I'm going to address this. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel. What is that, preacher? That is, to be dressed like that you would not draw anybody to the attention of yourself. Modest apparel. With shamefacedness and sobriety or self-control. Not with braided hair. That's even braided hair. I mean, isn't it amazing what we've got from the Bible? Man, y'all think I was a heretic if I got to preaching on things, how women look tonight. But in his son, he said, even your braided hair would bring men to your attention. Or gold or pearls or costly array. Well, preacher, what in the world's going on? I'm just simply saying this tonight. Ladies, be careful the way you dress yourselves. Don't bring too much focus upon you. You're there for your husband. And for you and your home and the benefit of your marriage and nobody else. You come in the altar to pray, nobody need to throw a quilt over you to keep your back end from shining. You don't need to bend over and pray with somebody, and you're just showing everybody in the whole building. Amen. It's men here. Red-blooded men. Amen. And so, men, I can say a rule or two for us. We're to keep our shirts buttoned. Wear things that are pleasing the Lord. You don't have to have a tie on. I don't wear it on Wednesday. Tie don't make a preacher, or tie don't make a Christian. But I tell you, a mini skirt does make a hussy. And a halter top does make a heifer. Amen. I know the crowd I pastor tonight. Y'all ain't a fooling me, buddy. And then he says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I don't know how in the world they can get a woman preacher out of there. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man to be in silence. It's fine for a lady to do a lady comfort. It's wrong for a lady to stand up and teach men in the church house. It's wrong. God does not want women in leadership in the church. Thank God for ladies. Thank God for them. They have their place, we have our place. And we all need to stay in our place. While I'm there, young couples, you better watch yourself. The devil is a-raging and a-roaring, seeking whom he may devour. You give him one little opening, he'll take it all. You play with sin, you can be seated. You play with sin, before long, sin be playing you. And I'm convinced of it tonight. And you better not trust yourself. You better not trust this flesh. Don't you put yourself in places where you can let you, your church, or your God down. Enough said. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. They continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I felt impressed to read that whole chapter as I was studying this week. I got to noticing where the new churches went. It's amazing. You remember the old forefathers, how the women used to dress. They'd all wear a bun, not much makeup at all, and dresses to the ground. And I understand all of that. I think a lady can look nice tonight, but still not draw all attention to her. When the lady walks in, everybody ought not stop and say, boy, look at her. Amen. Amen. And so we got to watch ourselves, keep ourselves the way God wants us to be. But tonight I'm interested in verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and he's talking about running a church. He's done laid down some ground rules in chapter 1, and he's telling Timothy, he's fixing to raise him up a young preacher, and he's saying, now, the first thing you better learn to do is to pray. And I'm going to tell you tonight how come our church services get boring because we quit praying. I would say tonight, if we could do without an offering, and if we needed time, do away with the offering, but let's don't miss prayer. I'd say if we scrambled for time, let's forget about introductory things in the mornings. Let's get right down to the business of prayer. I say if we're really scrounged for time, let's don't have Sunday school. Let's just get to this thing of praying. We're missing it because the key element of praying. I've been reading books pretty much through the week on trying to develop this sermon, and I want to start a series on Wednesday night on daily Bible living. I want God to give me something for the people that I pastor that can help us in our everyday living. I've got some pretty sermons I can preach. I've got some that all the things rhyme and right on time and it looks real good, but I want to give you something tonight that can help you tomorrow. I want to give us something tonight that I can initiate in my life and help me tomorrow. And so with that thought on this thing of daily living, I want to talk about daily living and praying tonight. Now, I pinned down some quotes of some old men from the 1800s that were pastoring. I've got a whole library of just old sermons and of the old men that stayed with the stuff and how they did things. And I want to say something that still works in the day and hour that we live if it's in this book. People's looking for new ways and new gimmicks and new gadgets and new games in order to boost the morale and produce the membership of the church. But let me tell you something. This Bible is all we need tonight. If we will promote it and preach it and practice it, God will honor what we do at Liberty Baptist Church. Now, we know ourselves, our church is not like all churches. We know that. And you know, I guess we could all sort of run a flag up out yonder tonight at the highway and say we are one of the most strictest fundamental churches of our area. And it would probably be pretty much true to its size. But I'm going to tell you, we can gloat and we can say everything we want to say on bragging about Liberty Baptist Church, but I'm going to tell you something we're missing. We're missing the prayer and the power of the Holy Ghost in our church. I preached in here Sunday morning without the Holy Ghost. Now tell me why I did. I did nothing no different through the week than I've always done. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How come I preach in the Holy Ghost Sunday night and not Sunday morning? I don't know, but I don't like it. And I can tell you, honey, it's a big difference. If you're going out across the ocean, if you get in a sailboat or a rowboat, I'll pick the sailboat tonight. We need the wind blowing back in our church. And I'm going to tell you what, if I had enough wisdom as the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, when things would happen like it done Sunday morning, I should have said, stop. Let's our church get an altar and let's pray heaven down. You're killing your preacher. People can't get saved without the power of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what we do, folks. We run this world by its tail all week long. We give 30, 40 hours to the TV set. And most of us ain't even got an altar that we go to and pray at home. And we come in the house of God and we wonder what's wrong with our preacher. We wonder what's wrong, why God ain't saving nobody, because we ain't doing our part. We ain't robots. We've got an obligation. We got to do what the Bible tells us to do. We got to do our part, then God does His part. I'm not for a community center. I believe when folks come to church, we all ought to leave different than how we came. And nothing's going to happen unless the power of the Holy One comes down. I've had some of the greatest compliments that's been said in the last couple of months of people that come and they say, well, we don't like that church. We was troubled when we went there. Thank God for it. But if we're not careful, we're going to go on what God has done here instead of what God is doing here, Brother Tim. If we're not careful, we're going to ride on into glory about what we've seen Him do since last October and know nothing about what He can do tonight. We brag on what He's done. Well, He's the Lord and He changes not. God can do it this Sunday. And God can do it tonight and next week. And I'm sorry, but I'm just not satisfied with routine Christianism in the day that we live. I'm just not satisfied in going through the formality of going to church. Never have I been satisfied with formality. And when things are at a low ebb, it is my responsibility. God has put me in charge here as the leadership, as the under-shepherd listening to heaven to tell you tonight, we better get busy praying if we want the Holy One to come down. I went and visited a man last week. He'd been here and I'd got trouble. I told Brother Mike. And I'd asked Brother Mike and some of you to pray. And I went and visited the man one evening last week, sat on his porch. This is an elderly gentleman. He said, Preacher, I need to do something. I'm not right. I said, well, sir, your age, you know you need to be getting it right. He said, well, Preacher, he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I like y'all's church. I like the way that you preach. You're old-fashioned. He said, I can go down there and God deals with me. He said, sometimes I go there and God don't deal with me. He said, I can go to other places and God don't deal with me, but we come down there and God goes to dealing with me. I got to thinking, Lord, I wish You'd save him right here on this porch. God, I wish You'd birth him in the family of God over here this evening. He said, Preacher, I'll be there Sunday. Well, you know what? He was here Sunday. We trying to preach and just the motions of the operation of the flesh and going through routines. And a lot of times we come in to get out instead of come to get in. God help us tonight. I wish we'd get tuned into glory land world that when sinners would come, they'd get saved by the good grace of God. We owe it to this community
We owe it to our loved ones and our little ones to stay prayed up and tuned up and ask God to help us and move again. I know people can't get saved every Sunday, but we can have the Spirit of the Lord every Sunday. I can tell you how come I know we have the Spirit of the Lord every Sunday, because the Spirit of the Lord don't live in a building. He lives in us. We bring Him with us. And if He's tuned up, and if He's ready to go to meeting, when we get here, we'll have a meeting. I think a lot of times we so planogrammed and programmed that we've got to do this and do that. We ain't got to do nothing. We need God moving in our sanctuary. We need God moving in our Sunday school. So I remember when people here used to get saved in Sunday school. You know why? We was hungry. Now, I'm not just lamb blasting you tonight. I'm just telling you how the cow eats the cabbage. We've got lazy. We've got comfortable and nothing's happening. I don't like it. Well, preacher, get over it. I ain't got to get over it and I ain't got to like it. I ain't going to do either. I'm just going to keep a preaching. Just going to keep a preaching. And so tonight, I'm serious. To learn prayer, one must go to the depths of the soul and climb to the heights of God. Prayer, the power that moves the hand that moves the world. Prayer locks the doors. It keeps out the doubts and dangers of the night. Listen to this. I like this quote. Sinning will make a man leave off praying, or praying will make a man leave off sinning. Can I say that again tonight? Sinning will make a man leave off praying, or praying will make a man leave off sinning. Prayer begins the fuel that runs the engine of God's work. It gives the wind that fills the sails of God's ship. It's a big difference in formality and routine than the wind of the Holy Ghost. We need the wind of God blowing in our churches. You know why these churches back in the 50s and 60s here had revival and seen a lot of people say, I know it's a sovereignty of God, I realize all that. Let me tell you something, friend. He paid a ransom for all. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I wonder what happened if we'd done what our forefathers done and began to call our loved ones' names out when we was a-praying. I over here at the church that I got saved at, they said back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, they'd come down there even in mule and wagons, and the men on the right side of the church, ladies on the left side, they could hear them praying like a beehive before they got there. Now we've quit praying. We put in games and gimmicks and we put in formality instead of the old things that's worked that our forefathers proved to us, the operation and the vehicle of praying. I don't know why I'm praying so hard, but I know it is. I know, and I found out in my Christian experience, the devil will let you do anything you want to do. He'll let you give all your money. I found it out. He'll let you study your Bible. He'll let you go hand out gospel tracts. He'll let you visit. But I tell you what, he cannot stand is for you to pray. And I tell you what, this flesh can't stand for some reason. You'd think praying would be easy. Praying's hard. And I'm going to tell you, this flesh don't like praying. But tonight I want to deal with just a few things of this thing of praying. I want us to look here. We have a description of prayer. He lists four objects here. I don't know if you've ever noticed them or not, but 1 Timothy 2, he said that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now that lets me know there are four operations of a prayer. You'll notice first of all, the first one that is used, he says, and simply called it supplications. Supplications. This means a prayer out of need or the lack of need for existence. That's an earnest prayer. God, I need groceries. God, I need a bill paid. God, I need my young'un touched. She's sick. God, I need this. I need that. That's a supplication. That's a deep inner dwelling of a need that a child of God has from the Father. Supplication. a prayer out of need or the lack of need for existence. Number two, you'll see he uses the word prayers. It simply means a prayer addressed to God in worship and adoration. God is on the throne. We don't walk right in the throne room on His level, honey. We adore Him in praise and honor, and we put Him on the throne to where He's supposed to be. God's not on our level. We live in a little old Baptist society. People think that they can just position and command God to do anything, honey. God's sovereign, and God's on the throne, and God's ruling and reigning, and He wants us to adore Him and put Him where He's supposed to be. Isaiah said when he saw the king died, he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Can I tell you that even the seraphims can't even look on the face of a holy God tonight? Friend, we must realize that He's high and holy and makes no mistakes in this society. Prayers is adore Him. Sometimes we ought to just adore Him. Lift Him up in your praying. And then thirdly, you'll see it here, and it really got a hold of me. Maybe this is one word for our church tonight. Maybe this one statement I'll say will challenge the hearts of our people to make a change in our ministry. And this is it. Intercessions. This is what it means. It means a falling in with. Now here's the statement. This is what the old preacher dead gone had to say about intercessions. He said, "Is there anyone benefiting from your praying?" Let me ask you something this week. Has anybody benefited from your praying? Intercession. It means simply this: a falling in with. A getting in with a brother and sister and pleading for their case. You remember the first prayer in the Bible? Can any of you tell me where that would be tonight? Abraham, the father of our faith, made the first publicized prayer. He had a form of intercessory prayer because he prayed for Lot, his nephew, over in the sin of Sodom. Remember, he told God, he said, "God, would you spare that city if it's 50? God said, "Yeah, I sure will." He said, "What about 45? He said, "Yeah, I'll do it." He went all the way down to 10 and he stopped. God said, "I'll do it. I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll not destroy it for 10's sake." And you know what Lot thought? He said, "Well, good." He said, "My nephew's there. I know that his wife is saved, Miss Lot. I know his young'uns is saved. And surely his son-in-laws are all saved. And it'll be 10 down there saved, and God, you'll spare it." But you know what? Wasn't 10 saved, because God rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And destroyed the whole wicked Sodom. You ought to read that sometime and look at how bad homosexuality can be. Honey, homosexuality just did not start. It's all the way to the days of Noah. Noah. That's a long time it's been around, and it's building and building and building. They took that city and God destroyed it. And let me tell you something. It's coming to our country. God's going to destroy it. I've heard preacher after preacher, the old timers say, if God don't destroy us, He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, sin is still sin, folks. But I just wonder, that word of intercessory, I want that to sink into us tonight. Is there anyone benefiting from your praying? Have you benefited anybody this week on prayer? We have a prayer list. Did you know it would embarrass us tonight? And y'all have got to admit, I mean, I don't want to tell you how good our church is, but I know because I get to see a lot of churches. We've got a wonderful church. But you know what would be amazing tonight if we put up on this board TV time, entertainment, ball fields, put all these things up and put over here. We wouldn't need that corner. We could just use the face of this baby prayer card right here of the times that we've prayed this week that affected other people. And then we wonder why the Holy One ain't coming down. We wonder why sinners can walk in and walk out. That's how they come. Friend, let me tell you something. There's a cost for having God. It's a price to pay. And this flesh sure don't like to pay it. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not a morning person. But I've had to determine in my heart that every morning before anything starts, I go into my altar of prayer. My wife is getting ready to go to her job. I can tell you what I'm doing. I'm in my altar praying, asked her. It has changed my life. When I worked a public job, I'll be honest with you, I hit and missed. I prayed a lot on Saturday to preach on Sunday. Now, every day of my life, I'm trying to have disciplined praying. Whether if I'm yonder, there, in a motel room preaching to me, it does not matter. The first thing I do is I hit my knees in an altar to God. I'm not gloating in nothing. I'm just telling you, you've got to discipline yourself to make you do it. You know, how many coffee drinkers we got here tonight? Let me see. I mean, really, you got to have it coffee in the morning. I mean, I got to have it. Go and throw your hand up. I got to have it. About half of us. I want to challenge you to do this. While your coffee's brewing, get you a little altar in the house. Get in your altar prayer. Tonight, we see here a description, supplication, prayers, and intercessions. Is there anyone benefiting from your praying? Have you ever noticed out here on the wall, the people that we support? I hope you're praying for these evangelists and missionaries, our prayer list, the people of our church. A lot of times I know where you sit, and I just go through the congregation praying. A lot of times God will put a family or two specifically on my heart for a day. And I may pray for them five or six times a day. Have you helped anybody this week praying? Let me ask you something. Let's say Sunday morning. Let's say last Sunday we had... I'm talking about earnestly praying. I'm not talking about laying on our pillow saying, Lord, help us tomorrow, Sunday. And I'm talking about going to an altar, your place where you talk to God and genuinely pray for the service at Liberty Baptist Church. I wonder how many we had last Sunday did that. Let me ask you something. Just to start, what if we had 12 to do it this week? And what if it built and it went to 20 and then it went to 30 and 40 and then it got to 50 and then it got to 80% of our church membership, our faithful Wednesday night, Sunday night people, had an altar of prayer that we would go and we'd pray and ask God to help us in our services and to help our church family. I wonder how it would totally change this ministry. You say, preacher, that's all you've got to do now, study and pray. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Thank you for that. I know you've got a job. But I know one thing. We do what we want to do. You won't miss your TV show that you love every week. I love the Golf Channel. Number 38. 38, click. You've got your favorite things you do. But I wonder if we went to giving God some time, what would happen? Now, I want you to notice something here tonight, and I know I'm going to get through this. I'm going to be conscious of the time. But not only do we see this description, and then we see a giving of thanks. He mentions supplication, prayers, intercessions, and then giving of thanks. This means... Now, you see where he said prayers, that was denoted to adoration, but here it means appreciation. When we are to offer up to him prayers, it is in adoration. But here in our praying, this giving thanks, it is simply appreciation. Thanking God for his person. Thanking him for his salvation. Thanking him for what he's done for you. thanking God for who He is and how big He is, and doing things for us that we never even knew that He had done. How many times as you raising children did you do things for your children that they never did know about? Wonder how many times He's done for us that we knew nothing about. Don't it do your heart good? One of my kids come by and kiss me on the head Sunday night after I sung that great song. I was trying to get a little drunker before I sung it. Don't it do you good if somebody comes by and tells you that they appreciate you and they love you? I mean, sometimes my girls both are good about it. They just leave me a little note someplace and I find it. In my spiral notebooks where I outline all my sermons, sometimes they'll go in there and they'll write me a whole page. Daddy, you is the best daddy in the world. Love. What are you saying that about, preacher? Well, sometimes you've got to tell folks you love them. I wonder when's the last time you told them, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Preacher, you don't understand what's happened at my house. Let me tell you something. I could tell you that since October, I have faced things that I thought I would never, ever face. Matter of fact, they've come out from left field, Brother Tim, and took me plumb off of my feet. Things that have devastated me and my wife in a storm that y'all know nothing about. There's no time to throw the towel in now. God's getting my attention. God's taking me through Thorn University, where He's taking a lot of you through. Right now, everything's real good, and you shout hallelujah, and that's wonderful. Praise God. But you better be putting some in the bank. Because it's coming. You better be thanking Him. But preacher, you don't understand how bad it is at our house. Just thank Him that it's not worse than what it is. It don't take long. You look down the road at somebody else. You know, I was going to Tennessee to preach the other night. I was on one of them nice pity parties, all by myself, 250 miles away from home. Just got one of the most devastating phone calls of my life. And I was just a crying. I was just a squall. I was a boo-hooing. I mean, I was a blubbering. And I looked over the car porch, and God said, look over yonder. And there's a boy in a wheelchair, and he had Brother Troy, one of them things, is moving it with his chin. I said, God, I'm sorry. God, would I quit counting what I ain't got? Go to thanking you for what I do got. Faye, why don't you come minister it for me? Giving of thanks. And then, lastly tonight, just going to deal with two. I've got hours of preaching here. But the duty. But you look what he says, what you do. He said, and then I want you to do this for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You know, leaders are exposed to more than other men, to temptations and dangers. People out on the battlefield, you know, them folks out cooking in the mess tent, they ain't got much problem with incoming. But it's them boys and girls out yonder that's in that fight. There's leadership in our church facing things they've never faced. You know why? They're on the battlefield. We ought to be praying for them. I don't say this ugly. I'm saying it to you because I need it more than I've ever needed since I've been saved. I believe the majority of this church walked right out under that highway with me and march into Ranburn. I believe that. And you tell me so often you love me. I believe you do love me. But I wonder how many prayed for me this week. I wonder how many prayed for our leaders. Oh, Brother David, what a blessing he's been to our church. I called him tonight and said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" I could tell he was down. Brother Joe runs the internet ministry. What a blessing. You wouldn't believe the churches out here talking about that internet ministry. You wouldn't believe the preachers call me. You wouldn't believe how far away they call. We got a lot of good people in this church. Some of God's choice people. Matter of fact, I was telling somebody the other night, our church is so unusual. Most of the time, only churches get three of these kind of families. We got houses full of them. I wish we'd learned to pray and ask God to fight our battles instead of these. He said, pray for your enemy, for those that despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is the highest. It's easy to lash out at your enemy. It's easy to pick up your hand, jack people up off the ground, throw them down. It's pretty easy to do that if you got the size. But I tell you what's going to get it done is praying. I feel compelled to say this before we leave. Some of you going through things, I can tell you how come we are, because folks is looking at us to see if it's worth being a Christian or not. God's been so good to us. I believe I feel the lowest right now in the ministry since I've been preaching 20 years. I believe I feel as useless. I believe I feel as worthless as I've ever felt since I've been saved. I'm not saying that to whine, be on a pity. I'm just saying it's how I feel. But ain't no time to quit. I got to sort of try to keep my chin up and pastor a church. I'm simply saying this. I don't just need your prayers tonight. I need them next week. When I'm out trying to preach in them dead places, you need to know your pastor's out there representing this church and God. You ought to be praying for me. All these young preachers out of this church. Don't you know the devil would love to throw one of them out of a gear? Don't you think the devil would love to get a hold of Brother Tim or Brother Randy? One of our four deacons. Don't you think he'd love to trick one of them up? Well, I thought they taught Sunday school down there at y'all's church. And we drop our hands and say, well, they did. We need each other. And if we could just get to praying, I mean genuine praying, it'd change your life at home, your job, it'd change our church. Now I want to ask you something tonight, and I give an altar call and I'll be done. Have you got an altar? If one of your young'uns, something devastating comes to your house, have you got a place where you go pray? Or have you got to try to find me on this BlackBerry to pray? And I'll pray for you. Call me. I'll come. But it may be sometime I can't get there. I wonder tonight, would you make a place around this altar? And I'm not just wanting to see the altar fill. I'm wanting to see us do something about praying. I want to challenge you tonight. As your pastor, I want to challenge you to get you an altar to pray in. Get some discipline in your life, some structure in praying. Getting to know who the Holy Ghost is. Letting Him lead you and guide you in every decision you make. That you may pray for others. He says, pray for all those in authority. Our country's in a mess. We ought to be praying for a president tonight. Boy, we got a lot to pray for. Well, preacher, when I get down, I just ain't got nothing to pray for. Well, let me ask you. Pray for your needs. And then address God in adoration. Talk to Him that He's high, holy. Intercessions. Is there anyone benefiting from your praying? And then giving of thanks in appreciation of what He's done for you. That's my heart tonight. That's why I come over here and I've shared it. I just ask you tonight, whatever you need, just between you and your Lord. Altar's open if you want to come tonight.